No, it's not a Hey song.
It felt like a Hey song.
Not even close to a Hey song.
Kind of was a Hey song.
What's up, boys and girls? You're listening to Kevin and Bean. The lads are on vacation right now, so we're playing some of their greatest hits. However, myself, Ralph Garman, still here bringing you live showbiz news, as well as just after the 8 o'clock hour, we will be joined by my good friend, Mr. Petros Papadakis. He, of course, like myself, huge Bachelorette fan. We will be recapping last night's episode of The Bachelorette. We'll be talking all things Chad. We'll tell you what's going on with Weasley Evan, who looks like Gary Oldman from The Fifth Element. Fifth Element, that's it, right? That's the movie? Yeah, yeah. It was a good episode last night. So we'll be covering that just after the 8 o'clock hour, about 8:05, if you want to make sure you don't miss that. Meanwhile, great showbiz news this morning. Sad news, if you will. Iggy Azalea and Nick Young have called off their wedding plans. Tragic. Ugh. Tragic news.
How can I go on with my day?
I don't know. Iggy broke the news on Instagram saying she loves Nick Young. I could tell. And tried to rebuild trust in him, but it's become apparent in the last few weeks that I'm unable to, said Iggy. This, of course, was after Nick was the subject of a scandal in which video footage was released where he appeared to admit to cheating on his fiance, in the sense that he said he cheated on her. That was the that was the indicator. But that relationship did not survive that. And it's hard to, I can imagine, after you pretty much say that you're cheating on your fiance, for your fiance to say, okay, it's all good. Although she did put up a good front. She tried. Meanwhile, it's hard being Leonardo DiCaprio. You got to make blockbuster movies. You have to date young supermodels. But now you have to battle the vicious gossip that you're awful in bed. OK Magazine has a report from one of his former girlfriends who claims he was boring and lazy in the sack. Oh, Leo, say it ain't so.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
Exactly, Kevin. This young lady claims, I love this story, that Leonardo used noise-canceling headphones during their sex.
What?
He would just lay back with noise-canceling headphones on, just sucking on a vaporizer, getting high, while she was doing all the work. And that sounds awesome, by the way. Just kick back with some Bose.
Ah.
Just work that vaporizer. Just wake me when it's over. Word is, he enjoys pushing the boundaries of acceptable behavior when it comes to sex. I don't even know what that means. But that he likes to toy with young ladies' emotions. Now, sources close to Leonardo saying this is all absolutely untrue, of course, because it's hard to keep up with the latest supermodel craze when you're you get a bad rap in bed. So, hopefully for his case, that is not true. Luck, you got to be careful if you're hanging out with Chris Brown, not only because he might punch you in the face, but apparently he is the target now of a ring of thieves who is not only zeroing in on Chris Brown, but also his friends, Kevin Hart, Scott Disick, Black China, have all been the victim of thieves. Police insiders are telling TMZ that there could be a crime ring zeroing in on Chris Brown and company. The burglars apparently know their targets. They know when they're going to be gone from their homes and are taking advantage of that information and stealing from them. So I feel bad for Kevin Hart. Scott Disick, not so much. Feel free. Black China, eh. Chris Brown, take whatever you want. That's how I feel.
Turd Ferguson.
He's not happy, that's for sure. Good news. We talked yesterday about the Monopoly the Musical. People at Hasbro have announced they are going to put a Broadway musical based on Monopoly up on the stage.
Which is, I forget, were we approving that?
We were not,
approving
that, no. We found that completely unnecessary. But from the world of musicals comes from Chicago, where the SpongeBob musical is getting its tryout. It's headed to Broadway next year. It's been testing out the waters in Chicago. It opened on Sunday night. And the reviews are in, and by all accounts, it's wildly entertaining.
Can I still not care?
Come on, SpongeBob the musical! How can you not care about that? Squidward and SpongeBob and Patrick? I'm so there. Even if my kid doesn't want to go, I'm dragging her to SpongeBob the musical.
I just don't care at all.
Oh. Variety loves it. Chicago Tribune said it was great. Chicago Sun-Times. So if you're a SpongeBob fan, save up your pennies, and you'll be able to see it on Broadway next year.
Not interested.
Come on. And this is shocking. Shocking news, I say, that Larry Flint's Hustler Club could be violating the rights of their trusty dancers.
What?
I know. TMZ.com has a story about a former exotic entertainer who has slapped Larry Flint's San Francisco location with a big fat lawsuit, claiming that they told her what to wear. What? You tell a stripper what to wear? No, you do not. You tell her what to take off. You don't tell her what to wear. They enforced rates for private dances, so women had to charge a minimum amount. And wait for this. Oh, this is devastating. They made her work 3 days a week.
What?
Oh, no.
So a Kevin week.
Exactly. The same schedule Kevin has. Someone tweeted me yesterday after I announced Kevin was on vacation. Can we add up the days Kevin has worked versus the days he has not worked? I bet it's even.
The body.
And I think he's right. The dancer's name is Angeline Hermes. Of course it is. Sounds like a Harry Potter character. Angeline Hermes claimed she received only tips as compensation. She was classified as an independent contractor, although she said she was actually an employee. She's saying they violated labor laws, and she wants her hard-earned cash. And I say give it to her. Give her some hard-earned cash. The more hard, the more she earns. That's why they call it that. Today's celebrity birthdays, Rebecca Black! Rebecca Black.
I need to find some Friday
If you don't have it for this show, Biz, we can hit it in the next one. But yes, of course, she is the legendary singer of the greatest song of all time, Friday. It's Friday, Friday. She's 19 years old today. Brandon Flowers, of course, singer for The Killers, 35. Chris Pratt, 37. I cannot wait for that new Guardians of the Galaxy sequel.
Bad.
I cannot wait to see that film. 37, Maggie Siff. Our friend from Billions, she's amazing on that show. Of course, she was also on Sons of Anarchy, 42 years old today. Actress Juliette Lewis is 43. David Morrissey, the very talented British actor, is 52. And Lana Del Rey. Lana Del Rey is 31 years old today. Obviously.
Obviously.
Right? It's obvious that she's 31. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Kevin, you got a cautionary word about eating dog food for us.
Well, Serena Williams did a Snapchat, and then it got put up on YouTube. And she tells a story about traveling with her dog. Her dog's name is Chip.
Oh, Chip.
That's her dog.
That's a great name.
And she's on the road a lot, as you can imagine. She's one of the best tennis players in the world, if not the best. And you would think also that she would have to watch very carefully what she eats.
Well, that's
as
what
an athlete.
That was my first thought is, isn't her body a temple?
Right.
Like you would think that she would be one of those people that have a full-time chef that travels with her to make sure she only eats exactly what her body needs at whatever point in the training she's at.
Well, she does go to really nice hotels because they have a pet food menu.
Ooh, all right.
So obviously a lot of people bring their pets and the descriptions sound fantastic.
Sure.
So this is her story, and this is what she put up on Snapchat.
I just ordered him the salmon and rice, and tomorrow he's going to have the soup. Chip, ready for the doggy menu?
Right, Chip.
Son, Christopher, good boy. Another boy. Another boy.
If there's one thing I've learned in all the years I've had dogs, it's that they sure love soup.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard soup,
it's
what?
Weird, right? It's soup.
All right, so she continues.
Okay, so the best thing about Snap is I don't have to hear anybody hating or just, like, trolling. Because
she's about to say something that she knows she would get a lot of response to. And on Snapchat, you can turn all that off and just put it out there.
So they have this menu for my dog, right? Because Chip left his food. Can you imagine? Chip is 3 years old, and he's been traveling for 3 years. The little guy leaves his food at home. He doesn't pack food.
Now, is she being funny? Because the little dog didn't leave the food at home and travel on his own, right?
Right. It's not really his responsibility to bring food.
Bad dog, you didn't pack food. What? What are you talking about?
So, this hotel has a doggy menu. And on the doggy menu, it has soup. So, yesterday he had the beef with chicken and vegetables.
That sounds pretty good.
Nice, yeah. Sure.
And I promise you, I was like, that looks so good. It was like fresh, like greens and boiled chicken and beef, and it was seared. it was seared like tenderly, and it was just perfection. And I was like, that looks like the best food, looks better than my food, right? So today I'm like, I might want to taste his food, so I order him the salmon and rice, because I thought, I eat salmon.
Okay, so now she's at least keeping it in the family. She eats salmon.
Sure.
Which okay. is super healthy.
Right.
So she ordered the dog salmon mm-hmm. and rice.
Before you judge me, look at it. Look, that's the salmon and rice. It's kind of all mixed together, right? I mean, come on. It looks good. I think
all
it
right.
looks good.
Let me ask. She's awfully defensive for somebody who voluntarily put this on Snapchat.
Right. She's not, but you can't see the fact that she's smiling the whole time. Like, she okay. knows this is absurd.
What's about to happen. Yeah. yeah.
She knows exactly what's going on. She knows what people are thinking. And
right.
that's why she's like, look at it. It doesn't look so bad, right?
And how'd it look?
Not good.
Not good?
It just looked
really?
Like a bowl of rice okay. with some salmon in it. That's all.
But it looked like something you could eat.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
In fact, when I take the food to go, they give me the same to-go package. So I figure it's the same package. It comes with a expensive-looking spoon.
Okay, so now she's rationalizing eating the dog food because they give you the same package to go.
Okay.
And there's an expensive-looking spoon.
Okay.
Why would they give you a spoon if it's not for humans?
Right.
Right?
I put some in his bowl. I'm like, what the heck? I'm going to try a piece. It looks good. So I eat a spoonful. Don't judge me. I ate a spoonful.
She's already so defensive.
It really is.
Don't judge me. All right, so I ate dog food. So what?
Let's fast forward to 2 hours. I just ran to the toilet like oh. I thought I was going to pass out. I mean, it did taste weird. Like, I force swallowed it. Like, it was a little, I don't know.
How would you describe it? What would you...
Like, it tastes a little bit like a house cleaner kind of thing. I don't know what they put in these dog food. But Chip liked it, and it looked good. But I don't think it's consumable for humans. And they should have wrote that.
Right?
So now I feel really sick. It was just a spoonful.
Right?
And
okay.
I really don't feel so good.
All right. She said they should have wrote that. Right. Now, didn't they write that when they said, hey, this is the dog food menu? Didn't they kind of already handle?
They should have been more clear.
Really?
More
they should have put not for humans on it?
You won't like this.
Right. She was joking about they should have wrote that, but seriously, eating dog food.
Well.
I mean.
Well, what?
I mean,
well,
you know,
what?
Who has it?
Well, I've tasted
what?
It once.
Yeah, that's all.
And
I'm
then
saying.
I just go, you know what? No, that's not for me. That's for pets.
You, especially she's traveling. She's in a new place. Hey, I haven't had this before. Let me check this out. Make sure this is okay for Chip. I get why she did it.
She wasn't doing that to make sure it was okay for Chip.
She
nothing in
see
that
what
said
it. Tasted
she said
like.
It looked tasty.
Why do you suppose she had such a violent reaction to it? And it's fine for the dog.
Why do you suppose she tasted it to make sure it was safe?
I'm trying to figure out why she had so many problems with it.
Right, and I'm trying to figure out why you think she only did it to see if it was safe.
Just to make sure it's good. It's there's nothing wrong with the food. You taste it sometimes just to make sure it's
Bean.
And when you say you mean
Bean. I've done that a few times.
A
yeah.
few times?
I've done that
to make
fairly
sure what?
Frequently.
Fairly frequently.
To make sure that it's good, that the food hasn't spoiled or that it's warm enough or that it, you know, just it tastes good. That's all. Yeah, I've done that. I've never Snapchatted about it, though.
You shouldn't.
It's private.
It should be private. That is a new
Woo-hoo!
Song from Garbage.
Yeah!
How about that?
That's garbage right there.
Garbage.
Right here in the room. Well, hi, guys.
Hi, guys.
Welcome
Pleasure
back.
To
see you again.
I feel like I've just lost my virginity in some way. All over again.
You guys walk in, and the song is playing, Empty, from the new album called Strange Little Birds. And Shirley's first words are, we may be old, but we're not cynical. This is still really exciting. And I loved hearing that because, having a song played on the radio, I mean, that's every little kid's dream, right?
Yeah.
When they love music.
So exciting.
Yeah, you never lose that thrill, I'm telling you. That was a good one.
Yeah, I got goosebumps in my arms.
How was it making this record? Butch, I'll direct this one to you first because, you know, some of them can be real hard to make and some of them just seem like they're, you know, just easy. How was this one?
I think in general it was pretty easy. We felt like we had a lot of momentum after we did the Not Your Kind of People tour. And we kind of worked on it in waves, like a, Steve and Duke would fly, and we'd work for 2 weeks, and we'd take a couple weeks off, and sort of did that over a good year and a half or so. And
can I just interrupt? That sounds a little lazy. Why don't you?
Hey, watch it.
We could have had this music like 6 months ago.
Well, I guess because we're our own label, we can only kick ourselves in the butt,
okay.
You know.
All
so
right.
There's no one breathing down our necks like there used to be. And it was interesting because we wanted to make a different sounding album too. So I think maybe that's why it took a little longer. Some of the songs just we thought they were going to go one way, and then they went another way. And I think we're really happy with how the record turned out.
Did you come up with any songs that then you went, hey, that's not exactly where we want to go in the future? Maybe it sounds a little too much like we used to sound. Did you have that problem or no?
Well, yeah, there are definitely some tracks at the very last minute we left off because they didn't feel like they fit in where our heads are at right now. We're not even sure where our heads are at right now.
I know that there's no right way to make an album. Every band, every artist is different and situations change. But I know that there is something to be said for you get a red-hot idea that everybody is grooving on it and it all comes together in a week. I know that that thing happens. And then sometimes what you're talking about is it's good to have a little space and then go back and see how you feel about it in the cold light of day and see if you still like it or if you want to change it. And that's kind of how you went building these songs along weeks and months.
Yeah. Exactly how we approached it, actually, which I think was really good because we came in every month or so with a harsh ear, which is a good way of judging whether something's a good idea or not.
Mm. Do you have times? You must have times where one of you or two of you or three of you even think this is great and somebody else is like, don't like it, don't know what to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a difficult
person?
Too,
yeah.
That happens too, yeah?
Yeah.
Who's the worst? Who's the worst? Who's the most difficult person in the band?
Now, I feel I'm getting heisted right now. That is so unfair.
I just asked a general question.
See, no names were spoken.
But right. Fingers were pointed.
Fingers were pointed, yes.
Fingers were pointed towards the pink hair in the middle.
Shirley, what is it you feel when you sit down to write a new record? What is it you feel at this point in your life that you have to say that you haven't said before?
You know, it's funny you should say that because normally, actually, I've never had any intention. I just sort of come to the studio with the band and we see what happens. And in this regard, though, on this record, I definitely had an idea of what I wanted to touch on lyrically. And a lot of that was stuff that I've deliberately avoided for 21 years. So I thought, it was actually when I was on stage with Not Your Kind of People, I remember thinking, why have you never gone to these specific corners of your mind?
Why did you avoid them for 21 years?
Two reasons. One, I wasn't a skilled enough writer because when I joined the band, I'd never written a song in my life. And two, I was too chicken.
Really?
Yep. What changed?
I grew some balls.
You grew some balls. That's not a visual that I want.
They're big and they swing.
You don't have to answer this if it's too personal, if you prefer the lyrics to remain veiled as to their true meanings, but can you give us an idea of what types of categories of things had you been avoiding up until now?
Well, I've been talking about how this record is a romantic record, and what I mean by that is just it's very raw and vulnerable, I suppose. It's really kind of in your face, and I suppose that's what I mean by romantic, because when you're in love, that's when you're at your most open and your most raw and flawed, and I guess that's what I mean by that.
I'm looking at some of these titles on the record. Again, we're talking to Garbage here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Strange Little Birds is the album. Then I'm listening to what you're saying, Shirley, and then I'm looking at titles like Even Though Our Love Is Doomed. And I'm thinking, okay, I'm starting to put some pieces together here. Teaching Little Fingers to Play is one of the more curious song titles I think I've ever seen on a record.
Well, that was Duke's first piano book when he was learning how to play piano.
Oh.
And he came into the studio one day and he said, I think this would make a really good title for a song. And we were all like, yeah, that actually is a cool place to come from. You know, we've been around now for 21 years and we've been playing together for a long time. And teaching little fingers to play is basically just about being in a beginner's mindset, you know, like not being cynical and feeling like you know everything just because you've had a lot of experience. You know, it's sort of...
You had a much better story behind that title than I could have possibly anticipated. That's really interesting.
I'm just glad his first book wasn't Everybody Poops.
It would have been a weird song.
I'm into it, but it would have been weird.
Give me some inspiration for the next record.
Now, we did consider that for a title, but it just didn't quite fit in with the other songs.
Oh, that was one of the throwaways, you know.
That was one of the throwaways, indeed.
Got it.
All right. Well, we love meeting you over and over and over again, and we love whenever you guys get to come visit. And
that first song, I mean, that's the thing. You want to come out with a song that just blows people away, and you have done that, you guys. So congratulations. It's amazing. We love it.
Thank you. Thanks to K-Rock, too. You're a part of our history at this point. Yeah. We've got a long history together, so we're really honored to be here and have our new song on the radio. It's badass.
We love you, Strange Little Birds, and keep track of where the guys are going to be performing live at garbage.com. We'll see you again soon. Thank you, gentlemen, and lady.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Sylvester Stallone not doing Rambo anymore. Oh. Did you guys love Rambo like I did?
Yeah.
I never saw a Rambo movie.
You see any of them?
What?
No. First Blood? What?
Nope.
What?
Never saw any of them.
Huh. First Blood?
Not for me.
What if I say it higher? First Blood?
I have no problem with Mr. Stallone. I loved the Rocky movies. I saw all of those. But Rambo, not so much for me. Just too much running around and shooting and yelling.
That's the perfect movie.
I know. That's what you want. Sylvester Stallone, who, as you may remember, started the Rambo franchise back in the early 80s, I want to say, and did the most recent one in 2008, Rambo 4. He was doing an interview with Variety magazine recently, and he said he has no intention of reprising his role of that iconic military war hero. He says, the heart is willing, but the body says, stay home. So let's get the update from Sly himself. You know, we've always had a good relationship with Mr. Stallone, and he joins us back on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock right now. Hey, Sylvester, how are you, man?
Hey, how you guys doing? You know?
Doing great. Happy New Year.
Hey, Happy New Year to you.
So you said doing another Rambo would be like, it's like fighters that go back for one last round and get clobbered. It's time to leave it to someone else.
Yeah, you know, I've been working on a script, you know, for Rambo 5, you know, for years. And, you know, it's just sitting there. But, you know, let's face it, you know, I'm 69 years old now, you know.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, action films, you know, to do a whole action film, a solo action film, takes a lot of work, you know, right. and a lot of physical exertion. Mm-hmm. And I just, you know, I don't have the thing anymore, you know.
Yeah, but can't you do with Rambo what you did with Rocky, which is just you're the mentor for the new up-and-coming fighter?
Well, you know, it's like they want to do the series now, the TV series, like Son of Rambo, you know? It's like Son of Godzilla, Son of King Kong,
right.
Son of Frankenstein.
Right.
I don't know. I think if you do it, you got to have Rambo, you know?
Yeah.
But you're, I want to do it. I want to do it.
You just said you don't want to do it.
I want to do it.
You do.
My heart wants to do it.
Okay.
But I keep having this little voice in my head, you know, and keep saying over and over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
It just can't get out of my head.
So weird that we could hear it.
It goes straight in my head. It's like Richard Crenna is living in my head.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
He keeps telling me it's over.
Wow.
Yeah.
But you're okay with that.
It's over, Johnny.
Hey!
It's over.
Nothing's over.
Oh, no.
Nothing's over.
No.
Oh,
come on.
They drew first blood. They called me. Kevin Bunn Show called me and asked me about Rambo.
No one's coming after you. No one's fighting with you. It's
they're coming on. They called me baby killer. They spit on me.
No. None of us did that.
And then they came in through love with me. I got to stand all over me. I'm not saying don't die. Don't die.
You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. Sly, you're just an actor. You're not a freedom fighter. You're just an actor.
I just had a Vietnam flashback. That was awful.
You weren't in Vietnam. You weren't in Vietnam at all. That was your character.
When I was there eating the rice patties, you know, when I was fighting Charlie.
Okay, that didn't happen. That didn't happen.
I can't believe it.
It's over, Johnny.
Oh, no. Here we go.
It's over.
Nothing's over.
Okay, right.
Nothing's over. You got it.
You okay?
It's over, Johnny.
Oh, no.
It's over.
Yeah, I think it's over.
Okay.
Woo-hoo! 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 Ah, I could be in Coldplay.
stupid.
Hey!
Oh, I heard about your clap band, by
Hands
the way.
Hands of Fury?
Yeah, Hands of
Take
Fury.
Take it off, man.
Is it really?
Yep.
Well, where's your lead clapper?
On vacation.
He's on vacation, yes. You're not really taking off. It is the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock, 6:54 in the a.m. Good morning, everyone. A hot, sweaty, humid morning. It's supposed to be cooler than it was yesterday. Anything would have to be cooler than it was yesterday. It's still going to be like in the 90s in the valley in the city and then, I don't know, 70s at the beaches. But brutal heat wave. Brutal. So brutal. Power outages everywhere. Even affecting our own here. Kevin and Bean family. Allie McKay trapped in her home. Can't get out of her house because she's got no power. So she can't get her garage door open. So she can't get in her car.
Oh, I'm so mad.
See? So she's not with us, but she'll be back tomorrow, we hope. And I feel bad that she's not here because I have some late-breaking Star Wars news. No one loves Star Wars more than our own Allie McKay. But Lifestyle Fragrances have announced three new Star Wars perfumes.
What?
Yes. Now you ladies can smell like Queen Amidala. The woman's perfume is called Amidala. It's inspired by the Queen of Naboo, they say.
Which smells like donkey ass.
No, it doesn't, sir. I'm sure it smells lovely. Lifestyle Perfume says it is a smell of royal elegance and strong, indomitable will. Oh, that smells...
like something?
Like strong will. There's also a couple colognes for men, too. The fellows aren't being left out. I'm sure the ladies have Amidala. For the gentlemen... we have Jedi. Jedi smells swaggering with fearless flair, sensual notes of musk and sandalwood. And of course, if you're a bad boy, there's also Empire, a cologne called Empire for the bad boys. It smells like masculinity and power, they say.
Oh. Anything about what it actually smells like.
Yes, masculinity and power. Smell like a piece of Sith. I guess it's what happens when you put that on. So, Star Wars perfume for the Star Wars fan in your life. I'm going to give you the heads up. If you're a Ghostbusters fan like I am, you'll be excited to know that Ivan Reitman, we just had him in the studio not too long ago, is spearheading a new animated Ghostbusters television series. Sony's animation division has announced a Sony Ghostbusters animated TV series called Ghostbuster Ecto Force. Sounds like a perfume. It is going to be a new generation of Ghostbusters. So for those of you who are hoping for animated versions of Venkman and Spengler, no such luck. But there will be a new Ghostbusters. The show will take place in the year 2050. Futuristic Ghostbusters.
They better not be girls, right?
I don't know. I don't want to make anyone angry, whether I say yes or no. I don't know if it's going to be men or women or a combination of both, but it's a new generation of Ghostbusters who will operate in the future, in the year 2050. I bet future ghosts are even worse than current day ghosts, because they have probably like lasers and stuff, because they're future ghosts. You can look for that in 2018, so circle your calendars. And that'll happen then. No surprise here. The seventh and final game of the NBA Championship Series was huge in the ratings. The ratings just came out. 26.3 million viewers.
What?
Watched LeBron James and the Cavs win the title for the first time in 46 seasons. It was the highest rated NBA game ever on ABC and the highest rated sports telecast on ABC or ESPN since 2006. So a lot of people were tuning in. I know I was. I don't usually watch basketball.
Same.
I've been watching this. I watched that series very carefully. And just after Justin Bieber ate it on stage during a concert. Have you seen that video footage yet, by the way,
so good.
Chip? Oh, just finding that hole in the stage and disappearing made me laugh endlessly for hours. I just sat there just blip, 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 just playing it over and over again. Now his ex-girlfriend Selena Gomez falls on stage. Ha, coincidence? Or is it the curse of Bieber? She fell on stage on Sunday night in Oklahoma. She was doing her single, Kill Him With Kindness, when she fell. And she laughed it off, telling the audience, first fall in the whole damn tour. Can you believe it? In Tulsa? I don't know why she's so surprised it happened in Tulsa. Does no one ever fall in Tulsa? Well, I'll be damned, she said. And so that happened. But she's fine.
Oh.
She looked cute doing it. And you know Panic at the Disco, right? We love Panic at the Disco. They've been on our Weenie Roasts, our acoustic Christmas shows. Always amazing live. And Chip, let me ask you a question. What is usually the highlight of their set whenever they play a K-Rock event? What is the highlight of their set?
Oh, when they cover Bohemian Rhapsody.
Thank you. Their take on Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody is transcendent. Love that. When they come out, and the first time they did it, I remember I was saying, oh boy, they're going to try to cover this song? That's a tall order.
Any kind of, any Queen, like, you need balls to either A, cover it, and B, to pull it off.
And they always do. Well, you'll be happy to know if you've never had a chance to see them live, that their version of Bohemian Rhapsody is going to be released. And interestingly enough, it's going to be on the soundtrack for Suicide Squad. The movie Suicide Squad soundtrack will feature a new 21 Pilots single called Heathens. And as I mentioned, Panic at the Disco's take on Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody also included. A few other interesting collaborations. Lil Wayne, Wiz Khalifa, and Imagine Dragons are teaming up on a song called Sucker for Pain. All that on the Suicide Squad soundtrack. The movie will be out on August 5th, and I'm sure the soundtrack shortly thereafter. But I just wanted to give some Panic fans, if they wanted to hear a recorded version of that Queen's cover.
I have a clip of it from Winnie Roast. Do you want to hear it?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Oh, come on. You too, Chip. I expect this from Kevin. I think you were going to turn on me. That is
so good.
Unacceptable. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor David Morrissey's 52. Juliette Lewis turns 43. Maggie Siff is just beautiful and talented. So good on Billions on Showtime. One of my favorite TV shows. Also, of course, from Sons of Anarchy. 42 years old today. Chris Pratt, 37. Brandon Flowers from Killers, 35 years old. Lana Del Rey is 31.
Obviously.
Obviously, you're 31. Anyone could look at you and just tell you're 31. It's obvious, Lana Del Rey. And singer, question mark, Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Oh.
Everybody looking forward to the weekend.
Oh, man.
You miss a hand farter now, don't you?
I do. I would like to hear Friday if done by the hand farter. Rebecca Black turns 19 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Dude, Ike is in Ralph's seat. What do we do about that?
Well, if Ralph hadn't gone all Hollywood on us.
Right.
And shooting his pilot for CBS.
Right.
Oh, is that the rumor we're spreading now?
Rehab.
I heard, and I really shouldn't say this out of school, but I heard he refused to work this week because he heard Ike Barinholtz was going to be on the show, and he said, I'm not having any part of that.
I think that was the part we weren't going to say when
Ike
was...
Oh, we were supposed to say that. I'm sorry, yeah.
Well, because... guess what? Guess who's here now?
That's
guess
right.
Guess who won? Guess who won this battle? This star battle.
Ralph, who's sleeping right now instead of doing this nonsense.
Yeah, of course he is.
Ike, how have you been, my friend?
How's it going, guys?
Going well. Great.
It's good to hear Ice Cube in that promo. Old friend. I was in the original NWA.
You were.
Oh, were you?
I was.
I don't remember that incarnation with the white guy.
I was the white Jewish guy. In the movie, they made me Paul Giamatti, and they made me the manager.
I see.
Okay. But I was one of the original rappers. I was replaced by MC Ren eventually, but I was
all right,
in
the
NWA.
Well, I think they might have made the right choice there, but you've done all right for yourself as
what
well.
What song did you do? Can you do a little of it for us now? I did the songs. It was about investing kids' money, mostly. I'll be honest, it wasn't the most popular set of songs.
But I'm saying if anyone would know it, you would.
Yeah.
So give us a couple.
You know, it was like, get a Roth IRA, get your money stowed away. That was just kind of the very beginnings of...
How did they not like that?
I don't know.
That's so good.
Well, I hope Cube's doing well and all those guys are doing well. I miss him. I wish they would reach out to me.
Since they blocked you on their phones, you can't touch base with them.
They blocked me
on
their phones, Twitter. I'm
right.
Like 300 yards from their house. I'm not allowed.
That's right?
A hardcore restraining order.
Well, listen, Ike, you're the busiest guy in Hollywood. We have so many things we want to ask you about because you've got so many things coming up. But why don't we start with the big news about Mad TV making
a
return. Now, I did not realize that you were a Mad TV-er, but you were on that show for a long time.
I was on that for 5 years.
Why wasn't I watching Mad TV?
You know what?
How is he supposed to answer that?
Yeah, man. Well, you know,
tell us.
Go watch a bunch of seasons right now, and then I'll come back in like a week, and then you'll be briefed.
who was on with you? Because I was stunned to see this week in all the press about Mad TV how many famous alum have come out of that show.
Yeah, I joined there in about 2002, and it was kind of after the original kind of old guard left, like Nicole Sullivan and Will Sasso. So I had Keen Peele on there, those two geniuses. Michael
Collins.
McDonald. Mo Collins, one of the funniest ever. Nicole Parker, Krista Flanagan. Just like really, really – Frank Caliendo.
Sure. Oh, yeah. We know Frank, sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we had a really, really great cast and great writers, and it was a really, really fun show. And whenever I go – I want to feel good about myself. I just go to Universal Studios, and all the workers are like, "I love Mad TV."
So what's the format of the new show? Like, they'll have you come on for one episode, and you'll host as if you're.
They're making me audition to be a featured cast member, which
true.
I think is ridiculous.
I don't think that's true.
Sure. I have to do an impression of the dad from Frasier again. That's ridiculous.
That's still hot.
John Mahoney. That's insane. You know what? I actually don't know the owner. The show, a guy named Dave Salzman, he reached out to me, and I was like, ooh, I got a little scoop. Oh, guess what? I was talking about the crew at Mindy. I was like, Mad TV's back. And one guy's like, yeah, I know. It's on Deadline. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. Well, I think I knew technically before you. So I don't know what it's going to be. I imagine I read that they're going to do some old sketches mixed in with some new current stuff, which is good because there's so much stuff to make fun of right
sure,
now.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm really excited. And people were really, really excited to hear
now,
that.
Now, Mad TV certainly had its fans and was on for many, many seasons.
Yes.
But was there rivalry with you versus the Saturday Night Live cast at the same time or no?
You know what? It was more, I think it was more on our end. We were kind of like, you know, I think the original producers of Mad TV, not the owner, but the original producers were like, let's take down SNL, which is kind of maybe not a great idea because SNL is the most famous show ever.
Right.
I don't think SNL thought about us a lot because they were too busy like getting ready to do a sketch with like, you know, Paul McCartney riding Prince like a dog. I don't know, some crazy sketch. Like, and then Bill Clinton comes in.
That I want to watch.
Yeah. But you know, it was at the time I was on Mad TV, the SNL cast that time is what I kind of consider to be the best SNL cast ever. It's like Will Ferrell and Amy Poehler and with Kristen Wiig and Bill Hader and Fred Armisen.
So there was none of that takedown SNL.
No, it was all just like we would just watch SNL on Saturdays. Like, that's a really good sketch. And also we were all friends, kind of. Like, we all came from Improv Olympic or UCB or Second City. So there was a kind of this familial aspect where it wasn't like competitive for us.
Mad TV was West Coast, right? And SNL was East Coast?
Yeah, we shot over on Las Palmas in Santa Monica. And
So you were Pac and they were Biggie. That's what you're saying.
Basically. And, you know, right? When I shot Bill Hader,
remember that.
I feel bad about it still because he has a little bit of a lip now.
Right.
But
it was a rough rap beef.
It was a really rough. Nothing lamer than sketch comedy beef. Yo, man, I don't respect your characters. Yo, man, that impression of Joe Millionaire was garbage. It's not. It doesn't work as well for sketch comedians.
So help me understand this, because you and Amy Poehler, who we just saw together in Sisters,
yes,
you guys go back all the way to Second City in Chicago, right?
Well, yeah. You know, actually, I started working at Second City as a busboy when I got kicked out of college, and Tina was like kind of the big star at Second City, and Amy had just left form the UCB in New York. But like, she would always come back and teach classes, and I was, you know, all the guys had crushes on her, just like, oh, she's so funny.
Is it so crazy for you, like, when you're doing Sisters, to sit around with Tina and Amy and go, I can't believe we're all still here making a living in this business?
Yeah, three girls, three best friends.
Right.
You know, just, no, it was so fun, because they really are such wonderful people and such great family.
Did you date either of them coming up?
No. In my head, I had relationships with them.
I was
going
to ask if you wanted to, yeah, because everyone wants to.
Everyone wanted to. I mean, Tina has always been with her now husband, this guy Jeff, great guy. And Amy had always had, you know, the various boyfriends.
Someone cooler than you.
Someone cooler and more successful and better looking. So it really wasn't much I could do.
But aspirationally, you were in it.
In my head, full relationship that I ended on my terms.
I Mike Berenholzer's here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
When we come back, we want to talk about
Neighbors 2.
Yeah, we want to talk about Neighbors 2.
Talk about that.
We want to talk about Suicide Squad, although I know you won't tell us anything. We want to talk about Central Intelligence.
Sure.
Man's got it going on.
Let's do
More
it.
With Ike right after this on K-Rock. Writer, producer, actor from The Mindy Project on Hulu, Ike Berenholz in studio with us now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Are you cool enough, Ike, to go to Coachella or no?
Oh, no, 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 no. I watch reruns of the show Coach. No.
That's your version of going to Coachella.
Yeah,
okay.
I put on shorts and I watch Craig T. Nelson yell at Dauber.
All right. Well, you've got a good weekend planned then.
Yeah, no, no, no.
You know how to live.
Yeah, Coachella's not, it's not good for me. It's too much sun and music. And maybe like 15 years ago I could have gone, but now.
It is funny, though, because both of the things that you mentioned, sun and music, are good things.
They're both great.
But I guess what you're saying is it's too much quantity of each.
I think there's a version of Coachella that's like palatable and really, really, really fun and great. And then there's also the version where it's like, it's 104 degrees. You're paying $14 for a bottle of water, and just like Andy Dick is vomiting on you.
Right. That's and likely to happen to someone this weekend.
Yeah. So to me, it's much safer to stay at home
I've
and watch television.
I've not had the Andy Dick experience. I feel like I'm missing out.
You need to be a VIP. Okay. You need to have a VIP Andy Dick experience ticket. Yeah. Right. It's a whole.
By the way, the version of Coachella you want lasts about 2 hours, and it's in an air conditioned room near your house.
Yeah. It's just me and my wife watching House of Cards. That's all it is.
Suicide Squad.
Holy crap.
Can you say anything about it? I know this is one of those where they pull your fingernails out if you talk too much, but what can you tell us
about
it?
David Ayer every morning calls me and goes, if you say a word, I'll kill you. I have not seen it yet. It was an insane experience to shoot.
And Leto is crazy?
Leto is crazy. Leto is the Joker, and everything you've heard is 100% true. He's totally like immersed himself in the role and really, which is good. Like, you need a guy. If you're playing the Joker, like, you don't want a guy that's like, God, how good was the Mad Men finale? Oh, hold on, action. you don't want that. Like, you want like a guy who's gonna like send dead rats and like walk around and like, you know, point at you and run away. Like, you want that crazy energy. But that was good to have that because the rest of the cast were like kind of so fun. Like Will is like the nicest. Like, Will's the kind of guy where you're like, you'll be talking to him and you'll be like, oh, I love ping pong. He's like, oh, you love ping pong? You like ping pong? Cool, cool. And then, like, the next day, there's like 11 ping pong tables surrounding base camp. They're like, oh my God. Like, I said to him one time, I was like, oh man, we're shooting the scene. I was like, oh God, you know, that's the night of the Pacquiao Mayweather fight. He's like, oh no, I'll handle that. Don't worry. And I was like, oh, maybe we'll, like, watch it in his trailer or something. And, like, he literally took, like, a soundstage and bought three movie theater screens and had, like, 1,000 people come and found, like,
is he afraid of you?
I think so. That must be what it is.
Like, he's terrified.
He's intimidated by my success.
So there's money, and then there's Independence Day money. That's what we're learning, right?
Yeah. And Will's one of those guys like, oh, I just throw money at people. I want people to have money. Like, he's like a truly, really great guy. So it was.
We should have him in.
You should have him in. And just mention things you like.
Right? Yeah.
You know, God, I love puppies, man. Oh, you like puppies? You like puppies? Cool. I got you. All right, cool. Don't worry, 100 puppies will be at your house.
You know what I always think about, and I'm very excited about Suicide Squad, but remember when Nicholson played the Joker in those Batman,
yes,
that Batman movie? And everybody was like, well, that's it. Now the Joker's been done and no one should ever be the Joker. And
yes,
that's the best Joker that will ever be and it can never be better. And then Heath Ledger came along and,
yes,
did something completely different that was every bit as good or better than what you'd seen before. And you're like, well, that's it. That's clearly the all-time Joker.
Yeah.
And now somebody like Jared Leto, who we all know what a great actor he is, he comes along playing a completely different kind of Joker. And I just can't wait to see what he does.
Yeah, it's super cool, so creepy and disturbing. I think, like, we're hitting the high water mark for creepy disturbing, so now we have to go back to kind of, like, I think, like, Gabriel Iglesias could play the next Joker. You know what I mean? Like, someone.
You don't want to go too far because he'll start killing people.
Yeah, but, like, someone, like, I mean, it really is, like, disturbing. And when he comes on set as the Joker, like, everyone is scared. And you know, you know it's a movie, right? Because you're on set and you're an actor. But, like, you're still like, I hope I don't die.
Oh, I can't wait. All right. Our remaining moments with Ike Berenholz here on K-Rock. You wrote a movie called Central Intelligence, and I don't know anything about it except that The Rock is in it, and Kevin Hart is in it, and Aaron Paul is in it, and a whole bunch of other people.
Small independent film.
Sounds like it.
crazy, right?
Crazy. My partner Dave Stass and I wrote this movie years ago, and every year it seemed like another actor was going to kind of come on board. Will Ferrell might do it, and Ed Helms, and you know, and then this guy Rawson Thurber, who he did like Where the Millers and Dodgeball. He was like, oh, I like this idea, and blah blah, let's work on it, and then once Dwayne gets involved, like Dwayne could like take this conversation, be like, I want to make this into an action movie, $400 million, and it will happen.
Right.
Like, he just makes stuff happen.
He's got that kind of power.
He does. So, but yeah, I just saw the other day. It's so crazy. Those two guys, just like watching, looking at them on screen, they're like, I mean, Kevin is just so high energy and small, and Dwayne is just giant. He's wearing like a fanny pack and Public Enemy t-shirts. He's like, his character is like this amazing CIA killer, but he's like such an annoying guy. So it's really funny, and I think people will like it.
Now, do you write this and walk away, or are you involved in shaping the movie as it's being filmed too?
You know what? We wrote it, and we wrote a couple drafts, and then the director, who really was a great guy, he would, you know, say to us, hey, you know, let's take a look at this scene. So we were working on Mindy at the time, so we weren't, you know, around to do as much, but he definitely, you know, reached out, and whenever we could just, you know, give a hand, we did.
What
you
a year!
You ever walk in and just say, "I have some notes."
I have notes. Around? Dwayne, you're doing it wrong. What are you, stupid? No, I'm sorry.
I think this sounds great, but I heard a script, and this is all I needed: Amy Poehler, and it's Leslie Knope. By way of Kenny Powers. And I was I don't care what's happening, make that movie.
That movie is, we are in the kind of final stages of writing it. It's Amy Poehler is the first NBA female head coach. And it is, it was her idea, and my partner Dave and I, we've been writing the draft and rewriting it. And it's really, I mean, if you like Amy Poehler, this is like her, like, this is her movie, man.
It's I hope it's as good as Whoopi's version.
Eddie, it's a remake of Eddie.
Better be as good as Eddie.
But the weird thing is, Amy is playing Whoopi Goldberg in this movie.
Oh, it's a weird decision.
I think politically we're in big trouble.
That is better.
But there will be an audience somewhere.
All right, let me say this as we say goodbye to you, Ms. Barinholtz, and that is, you are at the cusp of the biggest year of your career with all these things that we've talked about.
Wow.
And the next time we reach out to you to try to get you on, you're going to be such a big star, you're going to want to say no to us.
Who is this talking right now? Who are you?
Exactly. All I'm saying is, just remember that we were there when you weren't the biggest star in the world, and we'd like to have you back sometime.
You guys have photos of things I did in the green room here last time, and I don't want those to get out, and so you kind of own me.
We don't say it out loud, but that's the understanding.
That's the understanding. Don't make this your last appearance, is what I'm saying.
Never. And okay. our one of our guys, Jay, on the Mini Project, who I know is listening right now, he said to me, he goes, don't screw up before you go on Kevin and Bean. I was like, all right, man, I won't.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great Ike Barinholtz.
Thank you guys
so much.
Thank you guys.
So, the serial pooper is back.
Is it just one that moves around the country, or?
That's my theory. There's really? One guy who really gets off on serial pooping. And I know you're going to tell us the latest from this guy in Ohio, but there's you know, the ongoing serial pooper at the golf course in Norway. That's still happening.
Sure.
There's a swimming pool, I think, in New Zealand where somebody once a week for the last 3 weeks has dropped a deuce in the pool.
No, then they have to get rid of all that water?
Yep, they have to get rid of all that water.
That's just rude.
And bleach it out, yeah. So I'm trying to figure out what the draw is to be a serial pooper.
I don't think you'll ever be able to figure that out.
It's not something that has ever appealed to me.
Right.
Right.
Good.
It's not something that appeals to me. However, I do find it funny because everybody else finds it so not funny.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
This particular story comes out of a suburb of Cleveland called Ohio City.
All right.
And they've got a serial pooper on the loose. And the news went out to take a look.
People in Ohio City are having to tackle a problem they never thought they would have to face, a possible serial pooper. The person is targeting homeowners, businesses, even public areas. Tara Molina is live in Ohio City. And Tara, this is quite disgusting and disturbing.
Yeah, I mean, the people living here just told me it is so gross. It is so unbelievable. They almost have to laugh. But at the same time, with this continuing to go on, they told me they've just had enough.
It's a beautiful neighborhood. Great place to ride a bike or take a walk.
It's up and coming. I mean, everybody's putting a lot of money into the area.
But the next time you head to up and coming Ohio City, you might want to be careful where you step.
See? Be careful where you step.
Okay, that's good advice.
Poop. Bean.
Or what you step in.
I have found wads of poop and have had to clean it up myself.
All right.
What's a wad of
What
poop?
Is a wad? How do you make a wad of it?
And why is she cleaning it
why
up?
Why is she cleaning up the wad? What's happening?
I
have found
a wad of poop. What is
Who
she talking about?
A wad of poop.
Wads of poop and have had to clean it up myself.
That's right. Poop.
That's because at this point in the story, we still don't know what she's talking about.
Human waste.
Oh,
people are finding it in their yards, on their porches, and even in front of local shops.
I'm sorry, but the idea to me that you walk out your front door and you see that on your porch.
Yeah. Hmm.
That's funny.
No.
Unless it happens to you. It's horrible.
But I think it's funny if it happens to me.
Well,
yeah, make a note
I know
of that.
What I'm doing.
Look at some of the areas. You may find it yourself, you know? I mean, I hate to say it that way, but it's true.
It's very disgusting. It's nasty. It's trifling. It's ornery.
Did he say it was trifling and it was ornery?
Yes.
He did, yes.
I think it is trifling.
Who are these
it
people that they interview
with this
with the wad of poop and with the trifling and ornery? Who are these people that live in this town?
Ohio City is an up and coming city.
Yeah, people in up and coming Ohio City.
Right. I guess so.
It's very disgusting. It's nasty. It's trifling. It's ornery.
Signs like these line the streets: a warning to pick up after your pooch. None of them mention the different breed of cleanup that's troubling people who live here.
What? See what she did?
What?
But wait, that sign doesn't cover human beings. What should we do now?
It's going to smell like you know what in here.
Smelly. But the culprits are tough to sniff out.
See?
I would call 911 and say, hey, man, I see somebody in somebody's yard taking a trowel or a dump or taking a urine. By the time police come, they'd probably be gone by then.
Do you take a urine?
No, you don't. No. You don't take a urine.
Still, everyone in Ohio City is hoping Cleveland cops will flush these serial poopers.
See? Flush?
We don't need this crap in Cleveland.
Oh!
Cleveland police told me that if the people doing this are caught, they could face a crime, public indecency, maybe even vandalism charges. Live in Ohio City, Tara Molina, News Channel 5.
Yes.
Maybe I shouldn't ask this, but how do you know it's human poop?
Well,
you want to feel this one, Bean?
I don't know how descriptive you want to get, but I mean, even if you've owned a big dog, Allie, it doesn't look the same as you can tell. You can just tell.
Maybe it's another animal.
Why are you not accepting the fact that maybe it's just a human being? Why
is that? Because it's an up-and-coming city, and I just
so no one there would do that.
I don't. It's got to be someone from outside Ohio City.
I'm relatively confident that it is a human and that it is a serial pooper. And
it's trifling.
And it is trifling and ornery. I'll tell you that.
Dip, dip.
You're listening to the world famous K-Rock, the Kevin and Bean Show, here on a Tuesday morning. It is 7:53 in the a.m. The boys are on a little vacation. However, I am still here giving you showbiz beat after showbiz beat because I love you. And also, after the top of the hour, I will be joined by my good buddy, Petros Papadakis. We will be breaking down last night's Bachelorette.
Woo!
The return of Chad. So much drama. There were magazines involved. Protein powder was thrown. Oh, you're going to love this. Stick around. Just after the top of the hour, we'll be talking to P about the Bachelorette last night. In the meanwhile, this seems completely unnecessary. There was 1,000 people gathering in Ulverston, England, this week to break the Guinness World Record for the most people in a pie-in-the-face fight. Is that a record anyone needs to be a part of?
No.
The previous record, Chip, you'll be happy to know, was 869 people took a pie in the face in 2015.
Is that code?
Nope. It's actually what it is. Over 1,100 people showed up to take part this week. It was at Another Fine Fest, which is a salute to Laurel and Hardy. And if you don't know
those
names, it's because they did comedy films back in the 1600s. But there
so
was
Kevin loves them.
He loves them. They're in black and white, and they did silent films and also sound films. And they were known for their hilarious slapstick. And so 1,100 people gathered to put pies in each other's faces and to get into the Guinness
Book of World Records. So congratulations to everyone who took some cream in the face in England this week. You're doing the Lord's work, and we support you 100%. Ghostbusters!
Woo!
Ivan Reitman has announced he is going to work in conjunction with Sony Pictures to do an animated Ghostbusters television series. It will be entitled Ghostbuster Ecto Force. It is a new generation of Ghostbusters in this animated production based on the popular franchise, which now, of course, has a brand new team of all-female Ghostbusters. That movie's coming out this summer. But this series takes place in 2050. It'll be an animated adventure, and no word yet on what the breakdown of Ghostbusters will be, male to female. Maybe they'll do half and half.
Maybe they're dogs.
They make everybody unhappy by doing half women, half men. Maybe they are dogs, Chip.
You don't know, man.
You don't know. But if you're looking for Peter Venkman and Egon Spengler and that crowd, this will not be that. But I wish it was, because I'd like to see those characters again.
Back off, man. I'm a scientist.
Right. In TV, it's all about true life stories. With the success of The People versus O.J. Simpson over on FX, every network is looking to do a true life TV series. And now J.J. Abrams is developing a project with talk show host Tavis Smiley about the last days in the life of Michael Jackson. Before You Judge Me was the name of the book that Tavis Smiley wrote. The Triumph and Tragedy of Michael Jackson's Last Days. That book is out today. And, excuse me, a TV miniseries apparently in the works based on that. I can't imagine any series about Michael Jackson being successful, quite frankly. Because he was such a unique personality and so widely known and recognizable. I don't know who you get to play him in a way that would be believable to watch as a TV series.
Well, besides Beer Mug.
Well, Beer Mug, of course. Yeah. He jumps to mind right away. Johnny Jackson, we used to call him, remember? He'd come in. Yeah! I like chimps, like bubbles.
I can moonwalk.
That'd be the best. Hey, it's a DVD day. If you still collect DVDs, there's new releases of movies that you can check out today. You can get Knight of Cups, which is not a movie I know about, but Christian Bale's in it, Kate Blanchett. So that might be worth checking out. Midnight Special with Michael Shannon and Joel Edgerton. Another film does not ring a bell.
Nope.
But I like both of those guys. My Big Fat Greek Wedding 2.
No.
Nina Vardalos and John Corbett reprise their roles in that sequel. But the one I know, Chip, you must be excited about is The Brothers Grimsby comes out today on DVD.
Yeah!
Sacha Baron Cohen, Mark Strong, and a couple elephants also star in that
so
film.
So good.
Right?
Yeah, seriously, did you ever see it, Ralph?
I still haven't seen it.
Okay,
no,
yeah, if you haven't seen it, it never got the love it should have gotten, but it was so, so damn funny.
Especially the elephant scene.
Yes.
Right? Can't really get into what it was.
Nope, I cannot describe it at all, except there was elephants. And elephants.
And elephants, and different parts of elephants.
Yes.
And naughty parts of elephants. Yes. So, check that out. Today's celebrity birthdays, David Morrissey is 52 years old today. Great actor. If you've ever saw a miniseries was on in England, I think the BBC carried it. If you can hunt it down, if you can find this, it's called Viva Blackpool. Mm-hmm. And it's a weird music-drama hybrid, but wildly entertaining, and David Morrissey stars in it, and he's brilliant. And 52 years old today. Juliette Lewis is 43 years old. Maggie Siff, who I love on Billions on Showtime, also from Sons of Anarchy, 42 years old. Chris Pratt, 37. The Killers singer Brandon Flower celebrates his 35th birthday today. Singer Lana Del Rey.
Obviously.
Is obviously 31 years old. And speaking of singers, maybe the greatest singer of her generation, Rebecca Black.
It's Friday, Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend, weekend.
19
Friday.
Years old today. That was the first song that sort of introduced us to that whole Arc Music Factory scam, where that guy would take money from you and then write you a song and make you a video. And that genius, what's his name? I can't remember the guy's name.
His name escapes me, but he also did Chinese food.
He did Chinese food. I love Chinese food. And he did ABC.
And did he do Sausage Party for Jimmy Kimmel?
Sausage Party did for Jimmy Kimmel, yeah. He's a genius. or the most evil man alive, one or the other. Stick around after the top of the hour, as I mentioned. Petros Papadakis is joining me. We're going to break down last night's The Bachelorette. That's coming up in just a couple of minutes. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat. That's new music from Bastille.
Woo!
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here in the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:06 in the a.m. last night on ABC. A brand new episode of The Bachelorette could not be more excited. Let's take a look.
Well, his name is Ralph Garman, and he loves The Bachelorette.
Yeah.
With Petros Papadakis always watching it.
Yeah.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette.
Ow!
We were off for a couple weeks, but we're back. My good friend Petros Papadakis. Good morning, Petros.
Good morning, Ralph. Not an unsatisfying episode.
Oh, so much good stuff last night, I thought.
Like an AM/PM.
Especially after the drought that was taking a week off. We missed last week because of the NBA Finals, of course. But
yeah, and those were exciting, but
yes.
It's not the same type of emotion and competition, and there's not as many people as invested as there are, obviously, in The Bachelorette.
Obviously. When last we left off, Chad had just gotten the boot. Alex was on a two-on-one date with Chad, and Chad was sent home. But he didn't just go home. No, he returned to the house where all the boys were living.
He was allowed to return by production to create more of a storyline so they could bore us and let us wait 2 weeks for nothing to happen.
But the guys in the house were celebrating by they gave a funeral, a faux funeral for Chad by taking his protein powder and using it as ashes and having a funeral and throwing it off the balcony. I thought that was awesome.
I thought it was pretty good. It reminded me of when my brother and I used to have a service and throw the pornography we bought into the canyon of our parents' house because we felt guilty for watching it. And then
what a waste of good pornography.
We'd have a little service. You know, we'd play Greek music and wear robes and throw it. And
right.
Then the next day, there'd be an expedition to go down there.
And retrieve it?
Oh, yeah, with a machete.
Good man. So Chad did come back to the house. And Jordan's wearing a little thin on me, quite frankly. This is Aaron Rodgers' brother.
Although, I mean, Chad left a vacuum, a power vacuum.
Yeah.
And it was very interesting to watch it be filled. But Jordan Rodgers, Aaron Rodgers' brother, is becoming more effeminate, more skeletal, and weirder every single week.
Before Chad left, Jordan gave him a chance to apologize to all the boys in the house, and Chad did not take that opportunity.
So if you want to take this opportunity to be genuinely sorry, that would be great for all of us moving on.
Like I've said all along, I'm going to say what I want to say when I want to say it. Looking back, I would still say the same damn things.
See? Like Tom Petty, he will not back down, P.
Yeah, you can stand him up at the gates of hell. But he clapped his hands while he was saying it in a very Real Housewives of Atlanta kind of way.
He did?
Which was great.
And then Weasley Little Evan, who of course runs the Erection Dysfunction Clinic.
Former pastor. Father of three.
Takes a chance to confront Chad and demand money for that torn shirt. He's still harping on about that torn shirt. And here he confronts Chad, asking him for the cash.
You have your wallet on you? You owe me a shirt.
Are you that broke? I thought you owned companies.
I don't think an erectile dysfunction clinic is technically known as a D company.
I think it is. Isn't that what they deal in?
But it's not a company. They're not manufacturing them. They're not coming off the assembly line.
What you just saw there was Great American Enterprise is a luxury real estate agent from Tulsa talking about the erectile dysfunction man and his business in Atlanta, I believe. Just a thing of beauty.
Was there any more celebration ever, except for maybe in Cleveland after the Cavs won the series, that they were celebrating Alex's return to the house for having sent Chad home? There were cupcakes, there were sparklers, there was chanting.
He carried him off like Rudy, and he's about the same size.
They called him the Slayer of the Dragon in the celebration. Here's a little clip. It was like Game of Thrones.
And that's pretty upsetting.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
These guys suck. I mean, it almost makes you feel bad for what happened to Chad. Because if I don't know if I wasn't in that house with all these douchebags that I wouldn't be threatening their lives at every turn of the corner.
The first 20 minutes of the show, there was no mention of JoJo whatsoever. They just didn't care about her.
No, they needed more Chad. They needed to stretch out Chad. You know why? Because JoJo sucks.
No! Ow, my Lord!
We're going to discuss this. Where's Allie?
She is. She's off today because she's stuck in her house because her power's off, so she can't get out of her
garage. I saw the tweet.
She can't get out of her garage.
She's sitting on a block of ice.
Yes.
I got to say, these granny panty bathing suits, the tabloids, the fake storylines, the deep kissing with everybody where you know they're sores.
Oh, stop it. I will not have you besmirch the name of JoJo Fletcher.
All right, I'm sorry. Continue your report.
Here's the problem. With Chad being gone now, as you mentioned, there's a vacuum. Because they all had a common enemy, but now they don't have that anymore. So now they start to turn on each other. And no one notices that more than Weasley Little Evan, little Gary Oldman from The Fifth Element, the D Company owner.
Mr. Zorg.
He starts to realize that now that they can't all gather together to hate Chad, the hate is starting to turn on other people, and he's starting to feel a little intimidated.
The irony of Chad being gone and then these guys all of a sudden turning into mini Chads is thick.
Oh, mini Chads.
Look, a bunch of guys, it wasn't, I don't understand why everybody thought it was going to be like mutton stuff there and everybody's going to be happy and high-fiving. You know, it's a competition with a bunch of dudes, a bunch of swinging D's out there, you know, fighting for some fake girl from Texas. I mean, it's going to be a war.
Yeah, obviously, now that they don't have Chad to hate anymore, they're going to try to knock each other off because they all want the coveted prize that is the beautiful and lovely JoJo Fletcher. Yeah, there is a rose ceremony in the middle there where James F., the boxing gym owner, he gets the boot.
Was that the guy with the poem?
Yes.
Yeah, a friend of mine sent out a message that said that guy's poem was so bad that JoJo kept Evan.
And Daniel, our bodybuilder male model from Canada, also got the boot.
Yeah, but he didn't leave without some real, almost Churchill-esque words of wisdom.
His exit interview may have been the best ever. First of all, he realized why he did not get the rose.
So I didn't get a rose tonight, so I'm going home. It's just too bad that it had to come to an end. I wasn't the type of guy for her, and fair enough. She obviously going for personality, and obviously my personality is...
His personality is S.
Yeah.
I think he knew that much.
At least he knows.
But he was counting on his amazing looks and his amazing body to carry him through, and he still thinks when it comes to that, there's no one else in the house who can compare.
These guys aren't on my level, bottom line. No one's on my level. I know I'm a great catch. I've had more experiences than all these guys have combined, but there's millions of people in the world, and, you know, the chance of her falling for me, I got a better chance of getting struck by lightning while, you know, shaving my face.
Yes. He had a better chance of being struck by lightning while shaving his face.
Now, I'm not convinced he's a real person. Because the delivery in just the staccato delivery, I don't know if everybody in Canada talks like that. If they do, it would be infuriating.
I need a rose, eh?
And he walked. Did you notice the way he walked? Weirder than the flight attendant that won The Bachelor last season. I mean, if you put those two together, it's like a Monty Python skit the way they walk.
He may be the greatest improv actor ever, yeah, Daniel, but he will be missed as well. Here's the thing. I got to give it to the producers, though, Pete, because to create some drama, they sprinkled in this magazine with the scathing.
They never used to need to do this, Rob.
But I thought this was genius, though, Pete.
They didn't used to need this. They used to be able to create their own drama, but now they have to take it. Oh, wow, here we are in Uruguay, and miraculously an In Touch magazine shows up.
Vinny's,
and look who's on the cover.
Vinny's giving everybody a haircut and some reading materials there in the barbershop, and it is an In Touch weekly magazine that features a scathing interview.
If they need the haircut to drive it home, like, look, there's magazines around while people get their haircut. This is a coincidence.
That's when people read magazines while they're waiting for a trim.
I've never seen them let these guys have one piece, one publication of anything ever. Not a Wall Street Journal, not a New York Daily News, not a Freep. Detroit Free Press. But all of a sudden, in Uruguay, here's the In Touch.
Because this is information they needed to know. Is she here for the right reasons, or is she still in love with her ex-boyfriend, who is coincidentally also named Chad? And they all read the article, and it shook them to their core. And here's my favorite part, and the producers are genius about this, because even JoJo didn't know about this article. And the timing that they present her with that article, with that magazine, is maybe my favorite moment in this season's Bachelor. This is uncut. This is unedited. They did this in real time, and I thought the juxtaposition of emotions was spectacular. Here she is talking about how happy she is with her date she just had with Jordan.
I mean, I just feel so happy. I don't think anything could take away this feeling.
I wanted to see you.
They show over the magazine.
This has nothing to do with me.
Open it up.
Read it.
What's that? Ew, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and she starts crying. It was just awesome. Nothing could make me not feel happy in this moment. Here, read this magazine.
Here's an international magazine that says what a hooker you are. How do you feel now? Do you feel happy now?
She did not feel happy. No, she felt the opposite of happy.
You know she was having sex with the other Chad.
Stop it. Why do you say that?
Because she was. We've all had an ex-girlfriend.
Oh.
Well, we had a friendship after we dated. That means you had sex a few more times.
You are awful.
But what's the big deal? And then you have this room of guys. She's dating all of them.
Yes.
And they're all freaking out like it's beyond the realm of possibility that she was ever with another guy.
But if she loves old Chad, then they're feeling like they don't have a chance for happiness and to get down on one knee at the end of their journey.
Yeah, well, she's like an inner tube at a public pool.
How's that?
Well, how's that?
Everybody gets to ride in it.
Well, you know, she's got those floaties that everybody, you know, I mean, when the pool's open.
So she went on a date with Robbie, who also said he was in love with her already. And then the roses were given out again, and Vinny Evan, the creepy ED clinic owner.
Are these guys effeminate or what?
Oh, he's the worst. He's such a little weasel. I'm glad
he's gone. The quarterback's effeminate.
Yeah.
And Robbie's effeminate. I mean, is that how guys are? It's okay if they are. I mean, I'm getting old.
Everybody was crying at the end. Even Grant, the firefighter who's got a chin like that guy in Tango and Cash.
Yeah, he's like a Disney movie cartoon.
Yes. They were all crying.
But, you know, here's a black guy that got out of the country.
That's true.
But does Uruguay count?
I think it does. It's South America.
South America, they let anybody go.
Next up, Buenos Aires, next week. And they dance the tango, the dance of love, P.
Yeah, I heard. And my sweaty guy. I'm a sweaty guy. I like that sweaty guy that everybody's piling up on.
Derek?
Yeah.
Derek is sweaty.
Why did they get after Derek? What did he ever do?
Well, he's needy. He said he needed confirmation.
So
that's why
he's needy.
Got the rose.
That's his relationship with JoJo. Why don't the other guys worry about their relationship? That little Marine is getting tiresome.
Alex?
Oh, he thinks he's a lot smarter than he is. I tell you that.
Well, we'll find out what happens next week in Buenos Aires. P, thanks for joining us. Talk to you next week.
Okay, I love you.
Love you too, buddy.
Watching dumb dudes without any regrets. It's the report on The Bachelorette.
Ow! You're Kevin Abean. Eugene writes, I am about to become a father for the first time. And since I have looked to all of you as role models on how to be a man.
Oh!
Right?
No!
And to do the Lord's work for almost the past 20 years, I thought it would be good to see if you guys could offer some advice on how to be a good father as well. Bean, you might not have a child, but I would appreciate any advice you might give regardless. Thank you for everything. That is from Eugene. Now, Eugene, I don't know what you were expecting when you wrote this, if you thought we'd write back or what, but we wanted to get you on the air and, first of all, talk you out of asking for our advice. Is there no role model in your life you can go to who would be better for this?
Well, I figure I've been listening to you guys for the past 20 years now, and I've learned so much from you, like how to support hot women, how to drive in the rain. So I figure, why not go for this as well?
Here's the one thing that I know, and you're right to mention that I don't have a kid, so, you know, take anything that I say with a grain of salt because I haven't personally lived through it. But I, you know, certainly have been around plenty of people, plenty of kids. Here's the one thing I'll tell you.
Plenty of kids?
Hi, Omar. How are you?
I don't see you hanging out with a bunch of toddlers ever.
I don't count, Bean.
If Kevin were here, he would say this as well, is that nobody knows how to be a parent until they've had a baby.
Mm-hmm.
In your mind, you think, wow, how did my mom and dad do it? They were so smart and they totally knew what to do. They were winging it 100%. They had no idea what they were doing. It's only in retrospect that it seems like they knew what they were doing because they managed to shepherd you through becoming, you know,
now we
from
know
being
that
a kid
all the way to being an adult.
Yeah, well, Kevin point blank said to his mom, how did you know how to do this? She's like, I didn't. So it's just this big facade that everybody puts on, and it's good to know that going in.
All right, now let's go to Omar, because he's the one guy who's here today. Ralph is out, Kevin is out. He's the one guy who's here today who's been in this spot. Now, I remember when you came in and told us years ago that you guys were pregnant with your first child.
Yeah.
Our reaction was, no.
Yeah, big mistake, right?
Because, you know, you were one of those people who was young and did a lot of stuff and seemed like you were really active and enjoyed your life. And you didn't seem like a likely natural candidate to, quote unquote, settle down and raise a baby.
You know, maybe
it
that's
was a
what
surprise
people,
to us.
Maybe that's what people saw on the outside. But on the inside, you know, it definitely was time. Our kid was planned. We were trying. And we got pregnant, and, you know, it was one of the best decisions I've ever made. And going into it, I am Mr. Prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my wife were together for like 12 years. I had to have all my ducks in a row before we got married. So I thought I had everything down when it was time to have a kid. And Eugene, no matter how much you think you are prepared, you're just never really prepared. You can do a lot of research. I read books. And just know going in that you have to do a lot of drugs to get through it.
Oh,
so,
that's
Omar,
not,
no, we're trying to help Eugene here. Come
you
on.
Know, so if you have a hobby, pick up a hobby so you're not home as much. And,
terrible advice.
Jeez.
What? It worked for me.
Hey, Eugene, let's take a call if you don't mind. It's going to be from
but
Diego.
But drugs, man, drugs.
No drugs.
Oh,
no,
sure.
No drugs. Trying to help here. Diego's in Pomona. He's on line one. Let's get to him and find out. I love that this is the first call that came in when Lister Eugene asked for advice on how to be a father. Diego, go ahead. You're on the air, sir.
No one ever talks about it, ever, because babies are so cute and so soft and precious.
And they smell so good.
No, they don't.
Oh.
No, they don't.
Uh-oh.
There's so much poop.
So much poop
that they don't prepare you for it. There's going to be poop flying at you. There's going to be poop on your clothes.
Holy crap.
There's going to be poop everywhere.
Like projectile poop all the time.
Yes, I had a hose, like water projectile poop, fly at me when my child was about 2 months old.
Wow, that's awesome.
Changing the diaper,
I didn't have that.
How is it, by the way, that a tiny little baby that weighs like 25 pounds can poop his body weight? Like, how do they generate so much poop?
They poop all the time.
It's not just the poop. It's the storage of the diapers. You have to have the right way to make sure you're always keeping it outside, because if not, your room becomes a landfill.
That is
so much poop for Diego. That's his advice.
Yeah,
how much poop.
The first year, it's like 15 diapers a day or more.
Oh, my God. Why do they poop so much? Are they just physically not able to – it just goes straight through them? Like, it doesn't store up at all?
In the first year of life, they're just constantly eating. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then they're growing. They grow so much in the first year, so I think it's just that's how their body works.
That makes sense. All right, Diego, great call, sir. Thank you for getting us started. We appreciate it. So, Eugene, you're prepared for that? You know it's going to be nonstop poop for 5 years?
I'm running the Costco for baby wipes.
Okay, good advice. We're helping out Kevin Abean Lister Eugene, who is getting ready to – well, I forgot to ask. When's the baby due? When are you guys having the kid?
We're doing a couple of months now.
Couple.
Yeah.
Courtney writes in – my number one piece of advice would be never ask Kevin and Bean how to raise a child.
Great point, Courtney.
And I'm sure you thought about that, but we are taking some calls for Eugene. It's his and his wife's first child. He has no idea what's about to hit him, so we're looking for some advice that will help him, some things that you found out along the way, things you wish you'd known before the kid was born. Let's go to Henry in Torrance. He's on line six, please.
Morning, people. Hey, just wanted to give him a little bit of advice, not so much for the newborn. That goes kind of quick. But when they get older, never bluff your kid, man. All I'm saying is when you say you're going to do something, do it. I've known a lot of parents that sit there and just yell at their kid.
interesting. They know that if I say something, it's happening.
So, in other words, be careful about what you say. Make sure you don't threaten something in anger that turns out to be an empty threat, because then they realize they don't have to believe anything you say.
Or just that you're not going to follow through. That is that as well. I mean, you say, you know what, I'm going to take away your PlayStation or something, and you don't do it.
Mm-hmm.
My kids all know it's going to happen.
And then they go, Daddy's a liar.
Yeah. Well, they just go, oh, well, let's see how far I can push.
Yeah.
All right, Harry, that's great advice, man. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Valencia, line 5. Adrian, how to be a father. What's the one piece of advice you would offer Eugene?
So basically, I was talking to my wife the other day about how we don't agree on anything. So basically, you really have to get with your wife and see how she wants to do things, see what works. Also, work on yourself before the baby comes. If you have any issues, if you're overweight, anything really going on in your life that you feel like you need to improve, definitely work on those things.
Wait, so fat people can't have kids now?
They can, but they will have a tough time following their children when they're running around and you're at, you know, let's say a little toddler party and you're
That's why you tie a leash around them. Boom, you're all good.
Omar,
Omar, let me ask you this question, because I think Adrian brings up an interesting point. There are as many ways to raise a child, it seems like, as there are people in the world.
Absolutely.
How do you and your wife handle it when you strongly believe A is the way to go and she strongly believes B is the way to go?
You know, I'm fortunately in a really good relationship where we talk and we get along and we compromise. You know, we never think that one way or the other is 100%. We know that there are different ways to raise children, and we speak, we communicate, and that works.
But vaccinations are BS, right?
Oh, totally. Don't do
that.
That
we've learned. All right. Thank you for the call, Adrian. I appreciate that. Let's go to line 3, please. Newport Beach. This is going to be Ingrid. Hey, Ingrid, you're on with the Kevin and Bean Show and Eugene. What's your advice?
My advice is don't overcompensate and don't try to be their best friend. I went through a very unfortunate divorce, and we had Disneyland Dad, and then Mom scoops up stuff and tries to make it better and overcompensates, and you got to be their friend, and like the other caller said, you got to be follow through. Be strict, but be loving.
Okay, great call. Thank you very much for that. Let's try Rob. He's in Seal Beach. He's on line 8.
Hey, guys. How are you doing? Good morning.
Good morning.
So my biggest piece of advice is kids are definitely like sponges, and if you're a neurotic spaz, your kids are going to be neurotic spazzes.
Yeah.
And I see it with my kids' friends all the time. I look at them, I'm like, you are a psycho. How did you become like that? And then I just look at their parents, and I get it. So whatever you have to do right now to learn how to calm down, whether it's like drinking a lot of alcohol, whatever it is.
Omar Grace.
Good advice.
Learn how to do it now.
Yes.
Because whatever you have to do to stay calm when they fall or when they're driving you nuts, whatever you have to do, take a deep breath. Learn how to do that now, because it'll pay dividends down the end.
Yeah, and also kind of know going in that, you know what, you might be freaking out, especially with your first child, you will freak out. But it's going to be okay. You're going to get through it.
Absolutely. You'll be so fine. Everything's
children
fine.
Are going to be more. Children are way more resilient than we are.
So you need serenity. Fine. That's what you need. Find some serenity in your life. All right, I have one more question for you guys, and that is, why is it that every parent thinks other kids are nightmares, but their kids are angels?
Because I don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. My kids are little angels.
Their kids are special little snowflakes, and nothing is wrong with their kid. Yeah, there's a lot wrong. Trust me, every single kid.
Hey, Eugene, one piece of advice. You know, it's a cliche that when, you know, they're small, the time goes so fast. My oldest is going to be 4, and it's true. The time goes by so fast. Even in the first couple of months, man, it goes by like a blink of an eye. Enjoy it. Lay your baby bare-chested and enjoy that time, and try to help out your wife as much as possible. The more you put into it is the more you're going to get out of it.
Omar.
Wow. Sensitive. Whoa. Omar, ladies and gentlemen.
And do a lot of drugs.
Omar.
Okay. All right. Eugene, did we help at all this morning?
This was great. Thank you. Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Do you promise that you will get back in touch and share with us the big happy day when it arrives in a couple of months?
Yeah, it sounds like a good plan.
So you're keeping it?
Oh,
yes, they're kids. Come on.
Man, what?
All right, Eugene. Good luck to you, my friend. Thanks a lot for reaching out. We'll talk again, okay?
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day.
Later.
You bet. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world-famous K-Rock. It is 8:54 this Saturday. Santa Anita Gold Cup.
Woo!
The Gold Cup, I'm assuming, is an important racing trophy.
It's a Dixie Cup or a
No, I think it's a large golden trophy. Or it's something you wear to protect your nards so a horse doesn't kick you in the nards. But it is this Saturday. They're doing a special K-Rock Santa Anita Brew Fest. Another one this Saturday. And it's going to be a blast. Everybody's going to be there. And by everybody, I mean Lightning.
Hold up your beers if you're drinking.
Beer Mug's going to be there. What a surprise. There's going to be beer someplace, and Beer Mug will be there.
Hmm.
Once again, proving his worthiness of fatherhood. He's abandoning his infant child. He's going to be at the racetrack drinking beer. Mallory, Miss Double December, she's going to be there. Dave, the King of Mexico. Chip, you're going to be there?
She's a bitch.
Yes, she is. Striker. It's all happening. 11 a.m. is when the gates open. The first race is at noon. You can enter through gate 6 for free parking. There's going to be live performances by Slaves Against the Machine, which is a Rage cover band, as you can imagine, in between races. It's quite the event. Everybody has a good time. Over 40 beers on tap. You get to hang with K-Rock jocks. You get to bet on the ponies. And if you'd like to go, let me give you a 4-pack of VIP tickets for this event this Saturday. It gives you backstage access, a special wagering area, shorter lines for beer. This is the way to go if you want to see the Santa Anita Brewfest this Saturday. Give me a call right now, 1-800-520-1067. First caller through at that phone number. We'll get a pack of tickets, 4-pack. You and 3 friends get to go to the VIP access area for the Santa Anita Brewfest this Saturday.
That is awesome. That is awesome.
A little side note, the forecast for Saturday, 96 degrees there at Santa Anita.
Awesome.
So hydrate is what I'm saying. Hydrate. Because you're going to be drinking
and
beer.
Clothing optional. Okay, cool.
Be nude and moist. Those are the two things I recommend for you. Have a lot of fluids in you. Because here's the thing. You go there and you drink beer and you go, oh, I'm drinking all kinds of fluids. Wrong. Alcohol will dehydrate you. And heat and sun and beer sometimes is a bad combination. So make sure you're well hydrated and sunscreened up and wear loose-fitting, cool clothing.
If you had one piece of advice, would
sunscreen
be it?
Sunscreen would be it, Chip, absolutely. Speaking of events and heat, my hometown, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, is gearing up for their Made in America Festival that they do each and every year. 2016 Made in America Festival on Labor Day weekend is already shaping up. Jay-Z is the curator for the event. He's already booked Rihanna and Coldplay as headliners. This is a very cool event in a very cool city. If you ever wanted to visit Philly, this may be the time to go. Also in the bill, 2 Chainz, Lil Wayne, Chance the Rapper.
Smash Mouth?
No, I don't think Smash Mouth made the cut this year. Gary Clark Jr., Edward Sharpe and the Magnetic Zeros, Grimes. Big festival happens September 3rd and 4th in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, so I wanted to give you a heads up. It's a pretty cool lineup you may want to attend. More music news. You know I'm all about the collectibles. David Bowie may be gone, but his hair lives on. This weekend in Beverly Hills, the Heritage Auction House says they are auctioning off David Bowie's hair.
Ooh.
This is a lock of Bowie's hair that came from a former employee at Madame Tussauds Wax Museum in London. She actually cut off a little bit of Bowie's hair in the 80s to make up to match a wig for his wax figure, and then she kept the hair, and now she's putting it up for auction. Early numbers on what it could go for. $4,000, apparently, the opening bid.
Oh, my God, really?
For hair. So if you want some Bowie hair, I wish we could just... Can we just get to the future where we can clone people from their hair and stuff? Wouldn't it be great to regrow Bowie?
That'd be awesome.
That'd be awesome. But if you're a Bowie fan, you may want to place a bid on his hair. I'm sure Rodney will be placing a bid because he loved him some Bowie.
Oh.
Star Wars perfume. It's happening. That's right. You want to smell like Star Wars? Lifestyle Perfumes has announced their Star Wars collection. For ladies and men, ladies, you can wear a perfume called Amidala, which is inspired by the Queen of Naboo. Royal elegance and strong, indomitable will is what it smells like. For the gentleman, there's Jedi. Jedi captures swaggering, fearless flair with sensual notes of musk and sandalwood. You know how the Jedi love their sandalwood.
Smells like donkey ass.
No, it doesn't, sir. And if you're a bad boy, if you want to slather some of the dark side on yourself, Empire is the clone for you, fellas. Empire. An aura of masculinity and power, it claims. And of course, there's also the less popular scent, Wookiee. Wookiee. Also available for Khloe Kardashian. So, let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Morrissey, very brilliant British actor. 52 years old today. He was on Walking Dead.
Yes, right? He was the governor.
He was the governor, yeah. 52 years old. Juliette Lewis turns 43. Maggie Siff, who's so good on Billions on Showtime, also on Sons of Anarchy. She is 42 today. Chris Pratt, 37. The Killers, Brandon Flowers, celebrates his 35th.
Hey, guys, we've been on for an hour already.
Yeah.
I haven't fainted one time yet.
Yes!
Come on, standing go! Don't stand, though. Don't stand and go. Sitting, though. Well, you can't really sit either.
At the look, I've had problems my whole life with super low blood pressure and low blood sugar.
Because you're the healthiest man in the world.
I am the healthiest man in the world. And you guys remember that I fainted getting out of bed a couple of Christmases ago.
Sure.
And broke three ribs. So I do have a problem with falling down. But yesterday was a first, even for me. And I think, Ralph, you were the one to point it out on the air that nobody faints sitting down.
No one.
That's a weird thing.
If you feel faint, they say, well, sit down because that will help you.
Right.
Now you're sitting down, you don't faint.
I was already sitting down when I fainted. I think we have the tape from right at the end of yesterday's Kevin Bean show.
Michael Bolton, 62.
Oh, ow.
Ow. You all right?
I am.
What happened?
What just happened?
I'm fine.
Who's 62?
What? You can't do that. You can't just say, just have that happen and then go, oh, never mind.
I fell over. I just fell over.
What do you mean you fell over?
I don't know.
What's going on, Brian Wilson?
I'm hungry. I haven't eaten. I just fell over.
You work out of your house.
I know.
You eat like whatever you want that's in your fridge.
But I still work in this body, though. We've been busy today. We have a busy, active show today. I haven't had a chance to eat.
But you're not, like, walking downstairs. You're just standing there.
He's not standing. He's sitting.
I've got super low blood sugar, and if I go too long without eating, I fall, and I literally just fell forward into the microphone. I'm sorry.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Allie.
That's the best thing I've ever heard.
Why are the wheels coming off?
I faint a lot, you guys.
What?
Well, that's not sitting down. No one faints sitting down.
That's a good point. I mean, seriously.
Sitting down.
It was a surprise. My face just fell forward into the microphone and then continued down onto the control board. But, I mean, it was only for a split second, though, and then I popped back to life when when my face hit the thing there.
You're a regular Weeble.
You popped back to life. You think you died, maybe?
No. I'm just saying I was only out for a second. It's
Did
not like
see
I was
a white light?
Cold for 20 minutes or something like that or anything. But, yeah, it was a little bit of a surprise. I got
to
be honest.
Wait, okay, so let me just back up. Is this a thing that happens to you a lot? I know you have low blood pressure, but but sitting down?
No, this is the first time that I know of that it's ever happened to me.
How many times have you fainted in the last, I don't know, couple of weeks?
That was the first time in a couple of weeks.
Right. Oh, a couple of weeks. Well.
Yeah, but I get dizzy a lot, and I faint a fair amount. I mean, I probably faint once every couple of months, probably.
Should you get checked more, do you think?
I'll tell you what I have no time for. I have no time for somebody who owns their own house to say, I haven't eaten since yesterday.
Yeah.
You know what?
Who can't eat? Those of us who are here in a studio where there's no food.
Only one person can control that, and I would say, eat, dumbass.
But the pickup of, who's 62?
Yeah.
Strong.
Never mind. Never mind that colossal sound of my head colliding into the soundboard.
Let's move on.
Ever the professional.
Guys, I don't know what you want me to say. I didn't do it on purpose. It was.
We know it's saying you did it on purpose, dope. But we're saying if you faint once a month, there's something wrong with you.
There might be something wrong with me. That's
you're
true.
Not,
but
you're not
that might be.
You're not a Southern Belle during the Civil War, okay? You're not allowed to just get the vapors and just fan yourself and just get woozy.
Ralph, have you ever fainted?
Never once.
Allie?
You've never fainted?
I have.
You have.
When did you faint, Allie, and why?
I don't know
why.
Was
it on that date with Bill Cosby?
How dare you? How dare you?
Was it at the llama farm?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. I am allergic to some smell, and we can't pinpoint it, but it's whatever they use at nail salons to use acrylic nails. So it's that. And I found that out when I was getting ready to go to prom. Got fake nails for the first time.
Yeah.
Fainted. Boom. Wow. Hit the sink on the way down. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever fainted. Ever.
Really? I've never fainted.
I don't think that's not a normal.
Not normal. No, it's not a regular thing.
I think everyone's fainted.
What's wrong with you?
I thought everyone had fainted.
I agree. I agree.
Well, the fainters would think that, wouldn't they?
Really? You've never fainted? No.
Most people don't faint. It's a warning sign that something's horribly wrong when you faint.
Yeah, but in the course of living an entire adult life, so you know, something can happen to you.
But that's the point, is that it doesn't. Like, for most, I would guess for most people, I don't know. I mean, Bean assumes people faint. I assume people don't faint, so maybe we're both wrong, but
maybe it's just you, whatever your experience is, you feel that that's probably the norm, which is how many of us think about lots of topics, I guess. Well, I am still the healthiest guy in the world, as you know.
But six or seven times a year, and for no reason that we can tell.
Yeah.
That's concerning.
You need the head transplant.
While sitting down.
I don't know what's going on, but it did concern me yesterday. I have to be honest. And I did eat once we were done with the show, and that helped a little bit. I felt better.
Hold on a second. We're talking to you. How are you calling us?
What do you mean I'm calling you?
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good.
I'm calling from the past.
Okay.
I just fainted. I'm
Wait.
Okay. I'm okay.
This is me? I'm talking to me?
Who turned 62?
It was a conversation we were having yesterday about Michael Bolton's birthday.
Yes, yeah, I'm fine. I'm the healthiest man.
What's happening to you, me?
I'm the healthiest man in the room.
Stop saying that!
Why are people watching llamas?
Not that I have a lot of sympathy for anything that Justin Bieber goes through, because he pretty much brings trouble on himself.
Right.
But, you know, I took a lot of heat for my pigtails. And pigtails are the best because they're part of your head.
Right. Hold on, though. You deserve that. You asked for it.
How dare you?
You actually begged for it.
Mm-hmm. Justin Bieber, though, was on the iHeartRadio television show, a little concert, and he is being blasted right now because he showed up wearing dreadlocks. And there are a lot of people, particularly online, who say, hey, you're a white dude. You shouldn't have dreadlocks. You're culturally appropriating my hair, is what he's hearing from some people. I'm not sure how I feel about that, but I do want to know how Justin Bieber feels about that, and that's why we're happy to have the Biebs back on the phone. Hey, Justin, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, my friend. How are you?
Yo, 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 yo. Yo, yo to the max, crazy town, yo.
Right. What are you listening to there, Justin?
Some Bob Marley, man.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, that's now, you're surprise? Jamaican now? Your accent sounds different.
Yeah, I'm Jamaican now. I've always been... I'm black.
But you're you're very white. Actually.
Yeah, you're actually
you're so white. You're Canadian.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Okay,
pass
stop
talking. Touchy on the left hand side.
All right, stop talking like that, and just tell us how you decided to show up on TV the other night with dreadlocks.
What's with all the questions, bro?
Well, that's why we wanted to talk to you. We wanted to get your side of the story as to why you thought dreadlocks would be a good idea.
Because it's part of my heritage, man.
See, that's the thing. It's not part of your heritage.
I like to smoke pot, man.
Okay, you might smoke pot, but it's not part of your heritage. You are white and privileged and Canadian.
You don't know that, man.
I do know that.
Man. I am, first of all, black.
You're not black.
I am. And I grew up in Compton.
You didn't?
You grew up in Canada.
You're in Canada, pretty...
Toronto is like the Compton of Canada, eh?
I don't think so. It's their biggest and most metropolitan city.
Right. It's full of pimps.
It's not, though.
And crack. And crack pimps. Pimp crack.
Huh.
So this represents... all of my hardship, man.
All your hardship, which is what?
It's hard being me, man.
Right, well, you got that record deal at 15 because Usher found you on YouTube. That's your paid your dues?
Yes, but the first 15 years were hell.
Really?
I was out on the street slinging rock.
Yeah.
Slinging the rock.
You weren't. You were
rocking
playing
a sling.
You weren't doing either of those things.
He might have had a sling with a rock.
I broke my arm once. I was rocking a sling at one point.
Okay. Right, that's possible. So, Justin, what about the people who say, just don't wear dreadlocks? First of all, you look ridiculous. And second of all,
although you are pulling off the accent, so that's good.
Thank you, man.
Mon.
And second of all, you're just offending a bunch of people, so why not just cut them?
Because this is part of my identity.
It's not.
It's also part of my religion, because I am Fosterarian.
That's Rastafarian.
Rastafarian.
Okay,
Stop hitting the horn.
Come on, man. Let's go down to the beach and eat some conch chowder.
Okay.
Just stop this. Do something else.
Hey.
Don't do this.
I let him talk.
Let's go get some shells for the tourists, eh?
What are you even talking about? Justin? Do you know what you're talking about?
I'm on a glass-bottom boat, eh? I can see the water.
Okay. Congratulations.
You want some smoke, man? Smoke?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
You want some shells?
Bye now.
I'm not cutting them off. I can listen to this whole day.
Hey,
all right, we'll see you later, Justin.
I be drinking the rum, man.
Rum?
Yo ho ho and a bottle of rum. Eh?
Not a pirate.
You're not a pirate. You're not a pirate.
Oh, a pirate. That'd be cool. I'm going to be a pirate tomorrow.
Okay, good luck with that. There's a lot of drumming going on in that song. A lot of it.
Some.
A lot of drumming.
A bit of drumming.
And I love it. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on the world famous K-Rock. It is 9:40 a.m. It's kind of fun. Kevin and Bean are off.
So much fun.
Doing whatever they're doing, and we get to play here in the studio without them. I'm bringing you Showbiz Beat live all week long. Also, tomorrow we're going to be taking your calls with What's Good. That's always fun. And it's confirmed. I can talk about this. Later this week, we're going to be talking to Ray Donovan himself. Liev Schreiber's going to be
awesome.
So I get to sit down and have a conversation with Liev Schreiber.
None for Kevin, none for Bean.
Not once while I hear, hey, and when you do those nude scenes, do you wear a sock?
Why does Hawaii have interstates?
No one's going to pass out. It's going to be a good time. So stick with us all week long. Very excited. SpongeBob the Musical debuted this week. SpongeBob the Musical. Now, yesterday we talked about the fact that they're doing a Monopoly musical. We don't need that, but we do need the SpongeBob musical. It's headed to Broadway next year, but it is testing out the waters in Chicago right now. It opened on Sunday night for a run that will last until July 10th. And the reviews are in. Charming, funny, kids will love it, parents will love it. I can't wait to see it.
Squidward!
You can meet it, SpongeBob!
Thinking about Krabby Patties?
Yes! You don't know, man. So that's in Chicago till July 10th. Empire News, for fans of that show. Exhibit will be a regular on Season 3 of the Fox hit series. It's just been announced. He was a guest star on the show last season, playing Leslie Shine Johnson, who's not only a manager, but he's also into, you know, the usual drugs, guns, extortion. So he'll be joining the cast full-time.
He is a dick.
No, he's not. He's a very good man. More TV news tonight on Maya and Marty on NBC. You know, I love that show. Largely because Jiminy Glick shows up on that show. But there's going to be an updated version of the song What the World Needs Now is Love, done by an all-star Broadway cast. That show does film in New York City, and they got all the people from Broadway to join together
and sing that song, which benefits the LGBT community of Orlando, Florida, of course, in the wake of that horrific shooting. It's already out. The recorded version has been released a little while ago, but it's the first time the song will be performed outside the recording studio tonight. So if you're so inclined, you want to check that out. Iggy Azalea, Nick Young, called off their wedding plans. Rapper broke the news on Instagram saying she does love the L.A. Lakers star. And, in her words, tried and tried to rebuild trust in him, but it's become apparent in the last few weeks that I'm unable to. Just because the guy has sex with a few other women while he's engaged to you, Iggy.
Why so uptight?
No reason to kick him to the curb. What about love, man? You may remember he was caught up in that video scandal when he did admit, on video, that he cheated on her, but come on. The duo began dating back in 2013. I didn't know that. They bought a home together 1 year later, so that'll be a nifty breakup. That should be no problem.
No problems. No complications
when
at
you're
all.
Co-owners of a house, it's very simple very just simple. To walk away from that relationship. Larry Flint has some problems. A dancer, an exotic entertainer at one of his clubs, the Hustler Club at San Francisco, is suing the Hustler honcho. She claims that, well, this is ridiculous. They told her what to wear at work. She showed up in that burka and they said no. Larry said,
I think you should wear something a little bit more revealing.
That's bullshit.
And she did not like that. She said they enforced rates for private dances. Well, isn't that the case everywhere? I mean, don't they have a flat fee that you have to pay for a private dance?
Yeah, I make plenty in tips.
I know, Chip. You do, yeah. Because you're a spinner. And she had to work 3 days per week, which she claims made her an employee of Hustler versus an independent contractor, which she was made to file her taxes as. Said she only received tips as compensation, and that Larry has violated labor laws. Now she wants a big payout. Angeline Hermes is the name of the dancer. That's a dancer name if I ever heard one. What's your dancer name, Chip? What's your dancer name?
It doesn't make sense.
When you're working, what do you go by as? What's your stage name?
Crap, give me the Kevin move.
Yeah, I'm trying to make you Mad Live the Hit. Mad Live the News, and you came up blank.
You know, Spaghetti Thursday.
Spaghetti Thursday. All right. And it's hard to believe that people still, well, not that they still care about the Beatles, but there's anything left about the Beatles to talk about. But apparently there is. Ron Howard, the director, has created a documentary called 8 Days a Week, The Touring Years. This is a documentary which features on the Beatles touring from 1962 to 1966. They spent most of their time when they weren't in the studio recording new music, doing concerts all over the world. They did 166 concerts in 15 countries and 90 cities from late 63 all the way through their final show at Candlestick Park in August of 1966. It's hard to believe they stopped touring, period, in 66, and then went on to create another 4 or 5 years of music. But the movie opens in theaters on September the 16th and will stream on Hulu starting the next day. So if you're a Beatles fan or you're interested in the history of rock and roll at all, sounds like an interesting documentary. They have new interviews with Paul and Ringo. No new interviews with John or George, though. I'm kind of disappointed by that.
That's odd.
Those guys are stuck up. Dicks. They just don't want to perform. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. David Morrissey, you know him as the governor.
Oh, so good.
From The Walking Dead. He was also on a recent Doctor Who, which I thought was terrific. He's done a bunch of good work. 52 years old today. Juliette Lewis is 43. Maggie Siff, who is so beautiful and talented. She's great on Billions. She was great on Sons of Anarchy. She's 42 years old. Chris Pratt is 37 years old. Brandon Flowers of The Killers celebrates his 35th birthday. Lana Del Rey is 31.
Obviously,
she's 31. We all know that. Someone complained, by the way, there was no bell for Lana Del Rey. And I realized, here we are, what's it, Tuesday? We're 2 days in. I don't have a bell over here.
No, that's my bad. That's on me.
I haven't belled for anyone because I'm simply not capable of belling.
Yeah.
So I should be belling.
All right, I'll fix that.
And Rebecca Black, you remember her? It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend Friday. Protégé of Patrice Wilson, that's his name. Patrice Wilson, the guy who headed up the Arc Music Factory. That was their first big hit. Then they had I Love Chinese Food. Remember that one?
Yeah, hold on, I got it.
You got that? Somebody gold. I love new dolls. That's not even just. Anyway, it all got kicked off with Friday, of course, by Rebecca Black, who's now 19. I guess she did that when she was like 16.
Mm-hmm.
I feel bad for making such fun of her because.
Remember when Omar made fun of her to her face?
That's right.
At the Grammy roundtables.
God bless Omar. And that's it. Join us tomorrow in a brand, well, not a brand new Kevin and Bean. Because
newish parts.
I'll be doing Showbiz Beat, and of course we'll be taking your calls and what's good. And don't forget on your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour here on K-Rock. It is a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. They're doing us a solid, so you can listen to commercial-free music all the way home starting today at 5 p.m. Talk to you tomorrow, boys and girls.